I'm Simon Lambert, and this is the This Is Money podcast, except this week, it comes with a twist. Instead of our usual show, digesting the money news of the week and what it means for you, we'd like to take the opportunity to introduce you to another great This Is Money show. It's a video show called The Big Money Questions, and in it, our personal finance editor, Rachel Rickard-Strauss, goes on the trail of what those things from the world of money really mean. With the help of a string of economists, investors, and experts, Rachel has delivered shows explaining why interest rates matter, what inflation means, whether a world without work would be better, and how to prepare for a 100-year life. It's a fascinating look into the concepts that shape how we live, but we never really think about. To introduce you to the show, we took the opportunity to put out a Big Money Questions as this week's podcast, and it looks at a phrase we see all the time, stocks and shares. Have you ever wondered what that actually means? Rachel enlisted the help of Victoria Hasler, Head of Research at Square Mile Investment Consulting and Research, to explain what that official but archaic stocks and shares name means. The Big Money Question Show is coming up in a minute. Please give it a listen, tell us what you think by email to editor@thisismoney.co.uk or on This Is Money's Twitter feed or Rachel's @Rachel_Spike. We'll be back with the regular podcast next week. And if you haven't already, please subscribe at iTunes, Acast or Audioboom. And now, on with the show. Enjoy the Big Money Questions.
Welcome to the Big Money Questions show. I'm Rachel Rickard-Strauss, personal finance editor at This Is Money. This week, stocks and shares, what are they? We talk about them all the time, almost interchangeably, but I wonder how many people actually know what they are and what distinguishes them. So we've got Victoria Hasler here with us, and she's going to explain what they are and the difference. She is head of research at Square Mile Investment Consulting and Research. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
From the beginning, what are stocks and shares?
So the terms really are used interchangeably now. Shares are basically exactly what it says on the tin. So if you buy a share, you get a share in a company, a share in the company's assets and a share in the company's profits. Now, the other instrument, which is kind of covered to some extent under the term stocks and shares, is a bond, which is slightly different. That's a debt instrument, and that's when you make a loan to a company. So all of these things come out of the same, what we call, capital structure of a company. They're all issued by the same company, but one gives you a share in the company, and the other one is just a loan that you're making to a company.
Okay, so a share has nothing to do with lending a company money. You actually own a little bit of that company.
That's exactly right. So you put your money into the company, and in return, you get part of that company. That's your company that you own. Obviously, only a small percentage of it, usually, but you can build up and buy more and more of the company over time. Now, normal people like you and me will never own a huge amount of most companies, but, you know, a very rich person or a big, sometimes companies buy shares in each other, and they could theoretically build up quite a big ownership of a company and own 20-30%. For us, it's more likely to be 0.001%, but it still gives you part of that company.
And it gives you some responsibilities and rights as well, absolutely, doesn't it? It's not just sort of an investment that you buy it and done, and you just wait for the value to go up or down and then you sell it again. You have responsibilities as well.
That's absolutely right. And I think that's something that a lot of people overlook. So there are different types of shares, but the most common type is called common stock. Now, that gives you, as we said before, a share of the assets and a share of the profits. What it also gives you is voting rights for that company. So when the company has big meetings, shareholder meetings, where important things are decided, you have the right to vote. Now, I would argue, and I think most responsible investors would argue, that that right is really a responsibility and something that you should take very seriously. You know, for example, people complain about chief executives being paid ridiculous amounts of money. Well, those pay packages are always voted through at shareholder meetings. If you own a part of a company, no matter how small, you have a right to go and vote for or against those issues, not just pay, lots of other big issues as well.
So even if you owned just one share, you could vote on these sorts of issues?
Absolutely.
people don't know, do they?
No, a lot of people don't, and it's a real shame. And actually, it's very easy to do it these days. So in the past, you had to turn up at a shareholder meeting to vote, and, you know, sometimes they were in very inconvenient locations. And I think, to be honest, sometimes the companies did that on purpose to try and stop people turning up. These days, you can absolutely go along to the meeting and vote, but you can also usually do it by post. And occasionally, even electronically, although that's not that common yet, unfortunately.
Stock versus share, what is the difference? Is there a difference?
There isn't really a difference, to be honest. So stock is, I guess, a more general term that covers different kinds of shares. And as I alluded to earlier, there are different kinds of shares. So common stock, as I said, gives you voting rights. There's another kind of share called a preference share. Now, in that, you don't get voting rights, but you do get, generally, a higher payment, dividend payment, so a higher percentage of the profits of the company. And you get a higher claim on the company's assets. So this means that if the company has difficulties and they don't have enough money to pay dividends to everybody, the holders of the preferred stock would get paid before the holders of the common stock. So there's a kind of hierarchy there.
So if a company falls into difficulties, some people will get first dibs to get their money out,
yes,
or to be paid first, and others go further down the chain. But I've noticed we've just started talking about dividends, so I think perhaps we need to talk about what they are as well. And that sort of brings us back to the more general question of what is the value of holding a share?
Yeah, so, I mean, the value of holding a share really depends on how many other people want to hold it as well. If lots of people want to hold it, then its value will go up. If they don't, then its value will go down. Now, the other element to that, as we've alluded to already, is dividends. So when you buy a share in a company, part of what you're buying is a claim on that company's earnings. As the earnings go up, often companies, so some of that they'll take and they'll reinvest in the company to try and make their profits higher in the future. Some of it they'll pay out to their shareholders. So, and that's called dividends when they do that. And for each share that you own, you'll get a certain amount of money, which they tell you in advance. So it might be 5 pence per share or something like that. So if you owned, you know, 100 shares, you'd get £5 in dividends. Now, the dividend that they pay is set per share. So it's not dependent on the price of the share, although generally speaking, you'd expect the higher price shares to pay a bit more. That's not always the case.
So there are two real values, it seems, in holding shares. You've got the dividend payments that you get a couple times a year, and you also have the potential for the price of your shares to go up. And you say that this is determined by how many people want those shares.
Yes.
What sort of things determine whether people want them or not?
Well, lots of different things. So theoretically, it should really depend on the strength of the company. So things like how good is the management of the company? How big a market share do they have in the market which they operate? You know, how popular is what they're doing? I mean, in reality, it depends on lots of different things, and this is where kind of sentiment comes into it. So something like, for example, Apple. You know, everyone loves Apple products, and lots of people kind of think, oh, I really like Apple products, wouldn't it be great to own some of their shares? And they'll go out and buy some of their shares. So sometimes share prices are driven much more by that kind of sentiment. And I guess kind of people getting attached to various ideas and companies in that way, rather than what we call fundamentals, which is, what are the profits of that company? What are the profit margins of that company? So for every pound they invest, you know, how much are they earning in profits? That's what should really drive it. But in the real world, there's lots of different factors that come into play.
So when you're trying to work out whether a share is a good buy or not, whether it's good value, there'll be so many different things at play for investors that aren't just about the level of dividends that you might get, or even what that company could be worth in the future.
Yeah, and particularly over the short term, I think. So in the longer term, the prices of shares tend to be driven by the economy as a whole. So if the economy is doing very well, you'd expect shares in general to do fairly well, and the strength of the company. So those are the things that should drive the share price over the long term. In the short term, it can really move around a lot. And this is one of the problems with shares, of course, because they can be very volatile. So that means that the share price can go up and down a lot more than you might expect. So if you hold a share, if you buy a share now and you're planning to hold it in 30 years' time, there's a very good chance that in 30 years' time, the price will be higher than it is today, and often quite significantly higher. If you buy a share today and you only want to hold it for 2 months, well, in 2 months, the price could be higher or lower, and sometimes significantly lower. So really, when you buy shares, you should see them as a long-term investment. And if you only want to hold on for a few months, it's probably not a good idea to buy shares. You should really see them as something to hold for a long time.
I want to talk about the practicalities of companies issuing shares. Why do they do it, and what types of companies do it?
Well, most companies do it. It's unusual for a company not to have shares. There are what we call private companies, which don't have publicly traded shares. Now, they may still have shares. In fact, most of them still do have shares, but they're not accessible to the general public. The reason why companies would issue shares is to get money for their business. So if you think about it, you know, you want to start a business, I don't know, let's say a cafe, for example, just to keep it relatively simple. Now, you don't necessarily have a lot of savings, so you need some money to go and, you know, rent a building, buy the equipment to make the coffee, things like that. Where are you going to get that from? Well, the most common way to get that money is to issue shares. So you go round to your friends and you say to them, look, I'm going to start this business, it's going to be absolutely great, it's going to make loads of money, but I need some capital to start it. I need some money at the moment to go and buy that stuff. Will you give me some money? And in return, I'll give you a share of my company, and you can have a share in those future profits, which are going to be really good. So, and it's exactly the same for a big company, it's just on a bigger scale. Now, most companies issue shares at the beginning, when they set up. They may also issue shares further down the life of the company, which can often be for big projects. So they might be associated with one big project. We want to do this. I think it's going to be great, but we need a bit more money for it. Or it may be more generally to finance, you know, expansion in the company or expansion in general business activities.
How do they decide how many to issue? Or even what price they're going to be?
Well, when you first start a company, you can basically set the price. I mean, usually it's set at a round number. A pound is probably the most common number. Sometimes it's £10. That's just to keep the numbers simple. You know, there's no reason to issue at a silly price, really. As a company grows, the share price, as we've talked about, will be determined by supply and demand, so how many people to buy those shares and how many want to sell them. And when companies issue new shares, they're going to have to do it at somewhere close to that market price. Because if you think about it, you know, if your company that we've talked about, your cafe, if the shares and you issued them at a pound, and you know, 3 years later your company's done really well and the shares are now worth £5. I mean, that's great. You've done brilliantly there. But you think, okay, you know what? I want to start another branch of this cafe. It's done so well. So you go out to your friends and family again and say, look, I want to issue more shares in my company so that I can go and start another branch of this business. If you go to them and say, and it's going to be at a pound and it will give you the same share in my company, you know, that's not going to be, the people who already own the shares at £5 are not going to be massively happy about that, are they? They're going to say, well, look, I don't mind you getting more capital for your business, but if you're going to do that, you've got to make people pay what it's worth now. Otherwise, they shouldn't have the same share in the company. So you'd have to issue those new shares at close to £5. Now, in reality, it's not always exactly £5 because sometimes there's a bit of a discount involved. There's various complications where companies sometimes give existing shareholders the right to buy shares first.
To keep them happy.
And that can affect the share price slightly. So it's actually quite a complicated calculation. But the principle stands that it's going to have to be fairly close to what the share price is now.
I'm wondering, when you have, say you have two different shares and one is worth £1 and one is worth £5, does that say something about the companies themselves? Is the £5 company doing better than the £1 company? Or is it just that that's the price that they decided to start selling shares at?
Yeah, not necessarily is the answer. So what you need to look at is the total value of the business. So you can have, you know, a company that the shares are worth a pound and they might have 100 of them in issuance, and therefore the company overall is worth £100. Small company, but the other company that you mentioned, their shares are worth £5, but if they only have 10 of those in issue, the total company is only worth £50. So actually the company whose shares are worth a pound is worth more in total than the company whose shares are worth £5. So you need to look at the value of the company as a whole and then how much your shares are worth as a percentage of that company.
So really you can't, you're not comparing like for like, you can't really make any kind of judgments on companies based on share prices. It's all about working out for each individual company how many shares there are, what their value is, and how that relates to the underlying value of that company.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Where do bonds fit into all of this? Bonds is the debt that you were talking about, because that's another way you might do it, right? If you're setting up your cafe and you need some money and you go around and ask people for some, you could say, instead of saying, I'll give you a share of my company if you give me a bit of cash, you could say, just lend me the cash.
Absolutely. And in many ways, you could see that, you know, you as the cafe owner could see that as a very advantageous thing to do, because you would keep full ownership of those future profits. Yeah. So a bond is really just a loan to a company. It's an IOU. You know, so you could say to me, I want to set up a cafe. Can you lend me some money? And I'd say, yeah, sure, Rachel, no problem. I'll lend you some money. But realistically, I'm not going to do that for free. If I was to put my money in a bank, I'd get some interest on it. Not very much at the moment, I grant you, but I would get some interest on it. So what I'm going to say to you is, yes, Rachel, no problem at all. I'll lend you some money. I'll lend it to you today. I'd like it back in 5 years' time. But in the meantime, I'd like you to pay me some interest on that loan. And that rate of interest, which is what we call the coupons on the bonds, is determined by many things, largely the rate of interest that the banks are paying today. Because I'm going to say to you, look, Rachel, I could take my money and put it in a bank. What you're doing is a lot more risky than that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to want a bit of extra interest on top of what I could get in a bank to make it worthwhile me lending you that money.
And it will also be determined by how risky you think my business is. If you think it's super risky, you're going to want a lot of money back from me to make it worth your while. And if you think, actually, she's done this a few times before, she'll probably be all right, then you might want less.
Absolutely. And it's also determined by the length that you want, the length of time that you want to keep my money for. So if you say to me, you know what, you know, I want to go and get that second cafe. Now, I think it's going to do really well, really quickly. I only need your money for a year. Then I'd probably be willing to give it to you at a slightly lower rate of interest, because I'd say, well, OK, over the next year, is her business going to go bust? Probably not. You know, I can probably see that over the next year, her business at the moment is doing well. Chances are it will be doing well in a year's time, and I'll lend it to you at a lower rate of interest. If you say to me, actually, you know, I'd really like this money for the next 30 years, then I'm going to want a much higher rate of interest on that, because I don't know what's going to happen over the next 30 years. Will your business continue to do well? Hopefully.
And what other opportunities might come up in the next 30 years that you'd rather put your money in?
Absolutely, yes.
I think we cracked it. We did it. Stocks and shares. What's the difference and what are they? Thank you, Victoria, for talking us through it. And thank you for joining us for the Big Money Questions.